outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now, we're outside indoors, beat on a buck on a snowy day.
Hey now, we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills, forests, and lakes of southern Indiana. Produced in Bloomington and brought to you live every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. Inside Outdoors features hosts Don Jordan, Buddy Bill Moser, and Rich Reardon, and gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors surrounding our local community, our state, and around our nation. With fishing, hunting, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues in our community, and just down-home family fun, our goal is to inspire how to be a good steward of our precious natural resources. You can call into our show at 812-323-1200 and ask a question or tell us what's on your mind. So sit right back, get a cup of coffee, journey with us into the lakes and woods, and find out what our natural resources have to offer. If you miss the show, you can listen online at WFHB.org. Just go to the public affairs listing, and you'll find a podcast of our show at Inside Outdoors. This is WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org.
Welcome, folks, by golly, to Inside Outdoors on a Saturday morning, a beautiful week. We've had a beautiful week.
Wasn't it nice?
Oh, man. You couldn't ask for any better. No. But anyway, it's supposed to cool down some more, they say, a little later here next week. But hopefully it don't frost for a little while, because we could do without that frost for a little while.
No kidding.
Anyway, I'm Buddy Bill, in case nobody knows who I am. And then your name is...
I'm Rich Reardon.
Yeah, that's who that you are. Yeah. And then our other little buddy, he's still recuperating.
Absolutely. And you're listening to WFHB. Here in Bloomington, Indiana, we're not at the firehouse right now, but we are basically recording from Zoom, as you guys all know that follow us. But we're doing this from home. And I always like to tell people that if they want to come on the show, they're welcome.
Yeah, we like to hear from them. I haven't heard from John or Dan or anybody for a while, but that's okay. They're probably busy. And by gosh, I'll tell you right now, green beans, late green beans are on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Clarice and I went out and picked a big, couple of little buckets of beans a while ago, and I'm going to have a bean for supper, I think.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah. But I put some out late. I was afraid the frost was going to get them. That's the reason I said I hope we get a little late frost, because I thought maybe the frost might get them, but boy, they're not a bug on them, and they're real, real crispy, and I did water them. Night before last, and then last night I watered them again, but other than that, why, they're doing fine, and we'll get a few beans for frost, and I was also thinking of all these soybeans that's in the field that's really green yet. We got out planted late. Boy, they're going to be afraid they're going to be hurting if it frosts. Now, it may not frost, but
hard to say.
It's hard to say.
They're not forecasting it yet, but
no. But I think after 1st of October, mm-hmm. they was talking about colder weather.
Yep.
Cooler weather, not colder, but cooler.
Well, I get the feeling we're going to get some cool weather here coming up, because it was awfully cool this week.
It's been cool of a morning, especially. Yeah.
Started clearing up midweek, but we're taping it today, but it wasn't too bad today, but I had to turn my heat on in the morning.
Yeah, we did too. So, hated too.
I did too.
Hated too. But we did too. We turned her on.
I just turned it on enough to, you know, here you go. You turn it on in the morning and let the chill off. Then you got to turn it off because it'll get too hot once the sun comes out. And then you might as well almost turn your air conditioning on by the afternoon. But it hadn't been too bad. It's been in the 70s. So.
Well, of course, this is a good time to get sinus infections and everything else, as I was telling you before we come on here.
Right.
I worked out Monday and sweated, and it was a little breezy, and I was on the tractor, and that cold air, and I think that's what stopped me up good. That and the fact that all this smoke from California is coming in here, and you can see it in the air. I mean, down here, and I'm sure down at your house too.
Yeah.
It's cloudy. It's just got so much smoke in the air, you can't see the sun.
Well, I know. I was looking out today, and I said, man, it's kind of dark and dreary out there, but they didn't forecast any rain or anything. And then I started noticing it's all the blue. You can see the clouds and then the blue spots, but they're just all hazy. So we're definitely getting some of that smoke.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're definitely getting it. And then it's affecting me because there ain't no doubt about that. But
right.
Maybe we'll get over it.
Well, I tell you what, let me give you the lake level is 538. So they've stabilized that. It is now right at that's your normal pool.
That's normal, yeah.
And the lake temperature has gone down a little bit. It is now 75 degrees. It was 77 last week. But the lake level hasn't changed too much, but it's definitely getting cooler with those cool mornings.
Uh-huh.
So,
well, it's, like I say, it's time.
Yeah.
Time of the year. Deer season is going to be coming in here the 1st of October, which is just about a week away.
Coming up, yeah.
So it needs to cool down for that, because if not, why, there's going to be a lot of spoiled meat. Boy, we don't want that. That's a waste of good eating.
Well, they're out there. A friend of mine hit two deer the other night.
Oh, my gosh. Two.
Or they ran into her, but they did a number on her car. So
I bet they did.
She's got it in the shop. But I tell you what, they weren't killed. We went out there, and it was out here on this side of town, southwest side of town, and they ran off. But apparently there's some deer out there, so be careful.
Sore.
Yeah, be careful.
Yeah, I bet they're sore.
Yeah.
Well, they're moving. Well, in the evening, of course, it's cooled down, and they are moving of an evening now, getting food and stuff. So, yeah. Good time to hit one.
Yeah. Well, anyway, if you got just take it easy out there, because they're out there. I was driving back from Ohio on Monday, and coming through Brown County in the evening, and I always get nervous, you know, after dark driving through there, because that's where I hit mine.
Yep.
And right where I hit mine years ago, I mean, this was probably 10 years ago, but there was another one laying on the side of the road right in that same spot. So I think I, you know where that construction is, past Friendship Road, right before you go into the, I forget what the name of that road is. It's where you go into the marshland there.
Brummett's Creek?
Yeah, I guess it's Brummett's Creek. They were building a bridge there or something.
Oh,
or,
yes, a new bridge.
If you go right past that bridge, it goes to a right-hand turn and through a straightaway, and then it kind of goes left and into, there's a couple of additions in there, and that's right where I hit that deer is coming out of that, towards that straightaway. So if anybody hears me, I've seen quite a few carcasses laying there. It seems like it's a, you know, because it's right up that valley. I think they travel up and down through that area pretty good.
I'd say they do.
Yeah.
You're probably right.
But anyway, after things get going here, they will be starting to run around, because they tend to get moving when people are in the woods after them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they'll move. And there'll be some hunters out, too. I mean, you know, whether it's hot or cold, there'll be some hunters out.
Oh, yeah.
And that'll keep them moving.
And like we like to say, wear your orange, even if you're not hunting, because if you're out in the woods, you're fair game, according to some of these guys that don't, they just shoot at anything.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So just be careful out there. How about fishing this week? You got anything to tell me?
Boy, I don't have a thing to tell you. I haven't talked. Well, they haven't been very many past going fishing, and I haven't talked to, I haven't seen anybody to find out what they're doing, if they've done anything, because like I said, they're just not very many moving.
Well, I did hear a few things. Yellow bass seems to be biting right now. I heard it, whoever was talking about it was down at Paintown, and you don't see the yellow bass all year round, but they're good eating, according to Don. I don't know if
they are good eating, yes, without any doubt.
Some people don't like them, but they had a mess of them, and
you put them in Crisco Lake, and boy, they're good,
right. And they seem to be right around the same depth as crappie. Crappie seems to be around 4 or 5 feet depth. Minnows seem to be doing best for both of them. So if you can get some bait, which may be a little hard, I hate to bring this up, but Fishing Shed was closed temporarily starting last Saturday. I don't know if they're open yet again. I didn't call them, but
I was going to ask you. I didn't know. I don't know. I hadn't heard anything. You can't find a minnow on the lake.
Somebody tested positive over there, one of their employees, so they closed down temporarily. They've been doing real good. I've stopped through there a few times, and they clean everything up real good, and they insist you wear a mask if you're going to go in there. So they've been trying real hard to stay open, but I hope they get back opened up, because that's about the only bait shop we got right now.
That's the only one left.
Except for... I don't know if you ever heard of this. The Rusty Hook Live Bait and Tackle Shop is now open. I didn't hear about it till just now, but it opened in early September, I think on the 7th. And that is at 606 Hoosier Street in Ulitic. So Ulitic's got a live bait and tackle shop now.
I'll be darned.
And he said he has new reel and rod combos and some vintage combos also. So he's buying and selling some of that sort of thing. And then, you know, your basic tackle and plastic jigs and line and pocket knives and all that stuff, night crawlers and BMOs and worms. And so anyway, there's one place you can go if you happen to be down in the south end of town. And he's open Friday, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., and 4 p.m. and 8 p.m. So it's right by Casey's General Store in Ulitic. So good luck to him. So that's about all I know about. Basically, crappie are a little slow, but they're happening. 4 and 5 foot depth, best to eat them, to bring them minnows to eat. And yellow bass seem to be biting. So, and that was at Paintown, but I'm sure you'll find them just about anywhere.
Yeah, it won't be just Paintown. Be all over.
And I saw a comment that said east winds seems to reduce the biting on the crappie. Have you ever heard that before?
Oh yeah, winds out of the east is bad fishing.
Why is it like that? Nobody knows.
I don't imagine anybody knows really. But that's true.
Interesting.
If the wind's out of the east, it's a bad fishing day.
I have never heard that.
As a rule. Maybe John over there knows what the reason is. I don't know what the reason is.
Yeah, I'll have to give John a call and see.
It has to do with the pressure and stuff, too, with the wind.
Right.
And also...
All right.
That's a true story.
Yeah. If you're seeing a south wind or a east wind, then
stay
you probably
home.
Want to stay home.
Stay home.
Now, there was a couple of tournaments this week, which I found out about. One of them is the And this is kind of interesting. It's called the USA Open, so it was a big one. USA Open Southern Indiana Regional USA Bassin event. You ever heard of the Bassin event?
Well, I've heard of all them. Where was it at?
Looks like it was at Cutright, and there was 178 teams participating. So it was a lot of people out there, and a lot of complaints. There were a lot of complaints about people not respecting the idle zones, because a lot of these people were from out of state, I suppose, and or from Indianapolis, which, you know, in general, people don't tend to respect those idle zones too well. And there were some kayaks out there and people that were complaining that they, you know, they were just ignoring them and speeding around them and stuff, including some of the other people that were just sort of out on the lake just having fun. So, unfortunately, I wish they would deal with that a little differently, because it does, if you get that many boats out on the lake and people are just going crazy, you know, it's a bad thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I hope when they went by them kayaks, they hollered, "Hold on."
I'm sure they did. Yeah. They didn't, because these guys were mad.
Oh, they got mad.
Huh? Yeah, well, they were not. Well, mad enough to write in and make comments about it. So, but anyway, there was also Indiana Bass High School tournament. The Southern Indiana, I guess there's a Southern Indiana division, was held on the 19th, also at Cutright. And so I didn't know they had high school tournaments down here. But,
oh yeah. They've had them for some time now.
Right. So anyway, that happened. I'm trying to find out the winner, but I couldn't really find it. Unfortunately, I there's so many of those high school ones, they don't really post it. They've had a couple of bass tournaments lately, and so. I'm also seeing here that there was some grants concerning Lake and River. It's a thing called, they call it the LARE program, which is LARE, or Lake and River Enhancement Program. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Well, I guess it's probably just the program where they approve grant funding and stuff from national funding and things like that. But they, I looked it up, and they've got investigations to determine what problems are affecting the lake and or stream segments. So once they evaluate that, they and identify problems, and this is all over the state of Indiana. The DNR makes recommendations about where they're going to spend that money. And they also do some cost sharing with land users in the watershed above upstream, you know, in projects for lake or stream for installation and application of sediment problems, nutrient problems, all the stuff we talk about, you know.
Right.
And they do have matching federal funds for qualifying projects, so it's a pretty big deal what they do to go through and decide how they want to spend their money and what they're going to do. But they manage, they will engineering designs if they need to, also invasive aquatic vegetation, sediment removal, log jam removal apparently is pretty important thing in qualifying rivers around Indiana. That they'll get rid of those and stuff. But anyway, the grants that we've got this year was one for Griffey Lake for $11,600. That was about invasive aquatic vegetation. And also Lake Lemon in Monroe and Brown County for $6,500, a little bit less, but apparently there's some issues there. I'm surprised they don't have any that they've given to Lake Monroe, because we all know that the aquatic vegetation is a problem there too. But anyway, that there's been some money allocated to do some work at Griffey and Lake Lemon.
What about the wonder what they're going to do at Griffey, because they, you know, they drained that here, what, 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. And,
yeah.
And cleaned it all out. And
well, they,
a bunch of work, huh?
They gave them $11,000, so I don't know what they'll, I'll see if I can find out next week. We're going to have, hopefully, going to have Dan Bortner on, which is the new head of the DNR, and we're going to ask him a few questions. But anyway, back to, let me see, what else was I going to say? Oh, I have a little shout out about the cut rate boat ramps, and this is really nothing new, but apparently this guy's family went out on the lake Friday morning, last Friday, about 9 a.m., came back in about 6 p.m., and he parked on the high water boat ramp right there at Cutright, and found that his truck had been broken into, and they stole a lot of stuff. They got under his hood and unplugged the horn on the truck to kill the alarm, and stole his wife's wallet and other things. So unfortunately, he's saying don't leave valuables in your vehicle, because even if it's locked, they can get in. So be careful.
Yeah, they'll get in.
Be careful out there. It's almost better to keep all your valuables out and unlock it. But, you know, I don't want to make any suggestions.
No.
But they will break in.
And they will break in. And like you said, that's nothing unusual.
No.
More, they're all Salt Creek, Morris Creek, Cutright, they all have problems.
Yeah. And it's too bad we don't have more policing of the area, because they know it happens. But,
well, the thing of it is, we don't have enough conservation officers to go around.
Well, that's the problem. Yeah.
That's the problem. They're not hiring any, and we're short, and we just don't have enough to patrol the lake.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what I heard about the lake. Other than that, fishing is a little bit slow. There's some catfishing going on, which is colder it gets. This is usually my favorite time of year to do that, like in September and October. And you'll find them in the channels. And I like to go up on the north side in the no wake area.
I like to find them in the skillet.
Well, yeah. Eventually. But so you say your garden, what'd you get out of your garden? You got some green beans. Anything
I still
else?
Got green beans. Like I still got tomatoes. Still got onions. Got zucchini coming on. I hope they go ahead and make. Depends on the frost. But it's winding down, though.
Yeah.
It's coming to an end. Have you still got plenty of tomatoes?
No, it's winding down. Winding down fast. There's a few left. We were having trouble with them splitting open, and you know, I've been hearing everybody talk about that.
Mine were splitting open too.
Seems like they just start getting ripe, and then boom, little crack starts in the bottom, and next thing you know, you got a trouble.
Yep. Yeah, mine was doing the same thing.
But you know what are you going to do? Some of them you can salvage. If you're eating them right away, you know, by just taking them off, cutting off that area of them. But so we did a little bit of that. We made a bunch of sauce and canned it. So
we saved a lot of it.
We saved some of it, but it was a pretty interesting year. There was a lot of water this year, so they did pretty well.
Yeah, they didn't do too bad. Ours didn't do bad either. Like you say, they did split and stuff, but we've had pretty good garden overall.
Yeah. Now, do you change up where you? I've seen your garden, but do you change that up and move it around a little bit? I know, because you got a lot of room out there.
I've got the garden's in the same spot.
Yeah.
But
but I mean, do you move?
No,
you don't plant the whole thing, so.
Well, pretty much.
Oh, really?
It's okay. Spread out. I leave quite a bit of room in the middle of the rows and stuff.
Yeah.
But we I may put the, well, I put tomatoes on the upper end this year. Next year, I'll probably put them on the lower end.
Right.
And then the next year, I'll probably put them in the middle. And the beans I put on the lower end, and then I put some on the upper end. And next year, I'll put probably maybe in the middle. And I don't put them in the same. I try to switch areas.
Right.
I don't know if that does any good or not. But
supposedly with tomatoes, it can help. If you don't,
no, I didn't. One thing about it, I didn't have blight this year.
Interesting. Yeah, I haven't heard too many people yelling about that.
I haven't either, and I didn't have any, so I don't know. I don't know what the deal was, but the blight was gone. It just wasn't there.
And Don was saying he didn't have much of it either, I believe, this year. So
I don't know what the deal is, huh. But I'm glad.
Yeah. Well, I had a few different, I was looking at Don's Facebook and the Inside Outdoors part of it, and he had some real interesting pictures from Yellowstone. Apparently the bears are coming out pretty heavy right now. He had a nice picture of one with an elk, and it looks like he was having a pretty big dinner there.
Oh, he was eating on the elk?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
He had dragged it down by the river. It was just down by the lake. I don't know if that's, whether that was the river or the lake. You can't tell by the photograph, but probably the lake. But, he had an elk there. Now, I don't know whether he killed it or whether that was, he just happened upon it. But he was certainly eating it.
His lucky day.
Yeah. And, also, they had some pictures of a brownie down there that apparently a lot of people were taking pictures of, because they mentioned on the site that it was the same one, and he was just kind of hanging around in the water. But and also that they've seen that bear back in Indiana, the one that's down in northern Kentucky. So he hasn't crossed over yet. But apparently people have seen him again.
Well, he'll be home. He'll come home.
Yeah, he must have a few.
Yeah, he'll be over. He'll probably come over on Sunday afternoon just to visit.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let me see what else I got here. Well, he had some real great pictures of some rainbow. Well, these are brownies, but brownies and rainbows out in Iowa. So apparently it's good time to go to Iowa and do some fishing, because
a little fishing in Iowa, huh?
They had a lot of it. And they took a lot of pictures of the up from Lake Monroe of those yellow bass. There's plenty of those.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah. And also here's some sad news about, remember old Damon Bailey?
Oh, yeah, I read that in the paper.
His father was killed.
Uh-huh.
A motorcycle accident, and his mother was severely injured as well. So our thoughts and prayers go out to them. I'm sorry that they had to deal with that. He was an amazing player, and just terrible when things like that happen.
Yeah, it happens, and more and more all the time. Of course, there's more and more traffic all the time.
Were you ever a motorcycle rider, Bill?
One time I did.
Uh-huh.
But that was a long time ago, and I learned a lesson real quick.
Really? What kind
of? Get off of it and keep my feet on the ground.
What kind of bike did you have? Did you own a bike, or did you?
Yep.
Oh,
I had a Suzuki.
Oh, wow.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we were just talking about that, but man, I tell you what, I'm too old for that kind of thing, and I was too young for it too, I think. I'm not a big fan of motorcycles, but a lot of people love them.
Oh yeah,
you got
a lot of fun. But the traffic's getting so bad anymore that it's taking a lot of the fun out of it.
Well, that's the problem. Is it's usually a lot of times it's not your fault. It's the mm-hmm. fault of the other person when they're not paying attention or noticing that you're behind them. And anyway, it's definitely watch for them too, because they're this time of year, everybody's out looking at the, or getting ready to, but, you know, taking little trips. It's a beautiful time. It's not too hot, not too cold, and people are out there. You know, another thing that you really got to watch, and sometimes they will fine you depending on the state or the municipality you live in, but that is mowing your lawn and letting the clippings go out on the street. Cars won't bother them, but sometimes it can be make it very slippery for a motorcycle. So I didn't really know that, but don't do that if you can. Try to keep it off the road.
Right. Good policy.
Yeah. I didn't know that, but apparently it makes it good and slippery.
Yeah, on bicycle.
Yeah, bicycles too, definitely. So in general, watch what you do.
Yeah.
Nobody thinks about it too much till there's an accident, but...
And then it's too late.
It's too late then.
Sure is.
So let me see, what else? Don sent me some stuff about this. Let me see, I got to open it up. It's called the Indiana Pheasant Hunting Forecast for 2020. And remember, we've been mentioning it a little bit about, you know, it's up north, if you can find it. But apparently, this year has been a very good brood-rearing conditions that could bolster the pheasant numbers for the fall. So if you're reading about this, it says you must hunt pheasants. So... there's a thing called Pheasants Forever that you can renew, and they give you a lot of information about that. So if you're interested in hunting pheasant, and one of the things that we were mentioning a few weeks ago was that they have created some kind of program where they help landowners that have pheasant on their land. They will open that up for people to hunt there. So... But the weather conditions have been really good and apparently they're doing really well up north. I wonder if we'll ever see any down here. Has there ever really been pheasant here? I guess
not to speak of. No. It's the soil type of soil is different here than it is up north.
Right.
And that's the reason that it's good up north, but here it's not.
Well, the winter weather conditions last year were kind of average. If you remember, it didn't really get too snowy or too cold. So that had some kind of, impact on it. There's a guy named Matt Broadway. He's the small game research biologist for the DNR who's written this article. And he said, since there was no real severe snowfall events, they it can be good in some respects because they get a little bit more cover, but sometimes it can also, depending on how cold it is, it can hurt the brood. So the lack of snowfall this winter was just reduced the snow melt and gave the landscape a little bit of a breather from flooding than it has in the last few years in the winter months. And so that has really helped a lot. Some areas got a little bit crazy with the spring rains we had, and so that was a little bit of a problem. But, as long as you have high ground on your farm or wherever up there, I mean, mostly it's farmland, but that will help them to survive and do well. But apparently,
if they let their fence rows grow up, of course, see, they went in and dozed all their fence rows and stuff out up, and they've done that a lot of places.
Yeah.
And that has eliminated a lot of the pheasant hideout, and rabbits, pheasants, both.
Yeah.
And that's eliminated a lot of them. But I think a lot of them are going back to letting them grow now and let the weeds and grass and stuff take them. And if so, then you're going to get a lot of pheasant and rabbits back.
Yeah. Well, the mild weather conditions have really helped. And they're expecting game populations to be pretty good this fall hunting season. And although rainfall has been sort of average, even though it seemed like we were getting a lot. Apparently, I think it's more that we have been in a drought, you know, and we haven't seen as much rain the last few years. But definitely the if you have heavy rainfall, you got a real problem. And then if you got just sort of normal rain, you're doing all right. And again, with those hedgerows back in, I hope people will keep some of those going because it really helps. And apparently they've seen some bobwhite quail this year up there as well. So hopefully that's real good for everybody. I'd like to see them kind of come back down south.
Yeah, now we have them down here when we do have them.
I heard one earlier this year, but haven't heard him since. He was here for a little while, and then he took off. What have you been seeing around? Any kind of game birds or anything?
No, you know, the only thing I didn't even see it was a daggone coon that got in my chickens the other night and killed one of them.
Oh, he killed one, huh?
And I'm out for him. And other than that, I've got a groundhog out there, and that's about the extent of it.
Right.
I've not seen, as far as birds and stuff, they're all getting together and up and going south. But I haven't seen any quail or anything. And I did see a couple of doves. They're in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
They're feeding in the garden. But not many game birds. Of course, there's a few rabbits around. And I got one little deer out here, a little fawn. I don't know where mommy's at. I don't know where mommy got killed or what. But he's by himself.
Oh, that's too bad.
I don't know. Don't know what the deal is on him. But maybe he'll make her.
Where's he show up? Where do you see him?
He's out here in the yard, mm-hmm. backyard. Yeah, he comes around the backyard and hangs out of a night. He'll be there early in the morning.
How big is he?
Just a little shepherd dog. He's just a small one.
You think he'll survive on his own?
Well, he's eating grass, so he'll be all right.
Yeah.
They're tough. Deers are tough. Yeah. They can survive a lot.
You don't think about it when you hit a deer, but it could also affect their family because they're out there, especially when they're really young. But.
Yep.
Well, anyway, the back to the birds, you definitely got to get a license. There is pheasant season opens on November 1st, closes December 15th. Daily limit is 2 roosters with what does a possession limit of 4 mean if you have daily limit of 2? I guess that means total you can have 4.
Total you can have 4 altogether.
Right. So if you... Now, it says hunters hoping to draw a permit. Does that mean that they don't give them to everybody?
Them hunting preserves.
Yeah.
You have to put in for them.
Oh, I see. On Indiana game bird areas.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So you go to in.gov/DNR/fishwild to register for a reserved hunt. And you better get doing that pretty soon. Because, like I said, November 1st, you only got a month to get one of those spots if you want a spot. And that's it about pheasant hunting. But I tell you what, I did some when I was young in Pennsylvania. They were prolific where I was. They were everywhere. Just tons of them. Yeah.
That's good.
And that's my favorite bird to eat, you know. People don't know about them much because they're just not around like they used to be. But, man, is that ever a good Sunday dinner.
Oh, yeah.
They're a little bit...
Pheasant under glass.
Yeah. They're not as big as a turkey. I don't know if anybody really knows about them, but they're around here because they're just not in this area. But... They're not as big as a turkey, but they're bigger than a chicken. So it's kind of like about halfway in between. And they have a pretty dark meat. They're kind of a little bit like you know, like a thigh or something in a chicken would be. But even the breast meat is a little bit darker, but they don't really taste super gamey like some birds do. But they have a, you know, kind of like a duck. They're kind of, I guess they're kind of fatty. They have a fair amount of oil in them. And so you got to be careful kind of how you cook them, but they're awfully good once you get them cooked right.
They're good.
Yeah.
Yep. Real good.
Yeah. I used to enjoy doing that. I had myself an Irish setter at the time, and he would go out there and he enjoyed looking for those birds.
Well, I bet he did.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I bet he had a good time.
Yeah. Let me see. What else we got here? You know, I saw an article about Rumpke, which is kind of interesting because they're the ones that they deal with a, you know, resource for recycling waste and transfer stuff and that. And apparently they're proposing to build a new facility south of Bloomington. I'm guessing it's in that complex right off of 37 where there's already the water company there. And doesn't Rumpke have something in there? Isn't there some kind of trash?
Yeah, there's already one there, yeah.
Yeah, well, apparently they're going to expand it or wanting to or something. But maybe it's just about recycling.
Recycling.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
it is.
Not just the trash, but they're proposing to do some recycling down there.
Right.
So that could be a good thing. I don't really know too much about, of course, the only place I know is down there in South Walnut where you can recycle. That's where we usually take ours, but it might be good to have another facility here. I don't know where they take stuff. I think they go to Jackson County, if I remember correctly.
A lot of it goes there.
Yeah. But
Indianapolis.
But I don't know whether they actually do it. And, of course, we've been learning more and more about recycling as being not necessarily the greatest thing in the world because of the plastics that get airborne when they grind it up. And that's been becoming more and more of a challenge and a problem for people that, you know, have to breathe it.
Mm-hmm.
And also it getting into the oceans and that kind of thing. So interesting, you know. Yeah, but at the same time, we want to recycle it. We don't want to just put it in the landfill. But some of that plastic might do better in the landfill than what they're doing with it. It just depends whether they can recycle it.
Maybe they'll come up with something. They're always working at it. So.
Well, I'm always a proponent, as we've talked about, of hemp, you know, for a lot of reasons. You can, you know, we cut down trees to make paper, and hemp is very easily made into paper. And also, you know, you can get like two or three crops in a year as compared to waiting 10 years for enough forest to come back to deal with. So I hope that they tend to change those laws and get things a little bit more out there for farmers to do. It seems like a good crop for a farmer. It grows easily in a field. And now with the marijuana laws changing around the country, I think part of that went away because of that. And even though it doesn't have the properties of THC in it, but I'd like to see more hemp out there and less plastics anyway. So apparently they can make just about anything that acts like a plastic. It's very hard and does not get into your food. In other words, if you have a hemp-based container, it's not going to leak that plastic and those chemicals into your food eventually, like the ones that we're used to buy and do.
Right.
So that's a pretty good thing. But anyway, Rumpke is looking to expand and do something down there. So I suppose it's right there where the Dillman Road is
I'd say right there's where it's at. I don't know exactly, but I think that's where it's at.
Yeah. So I do see trucks going in and out of there a lot, but I don't know whether that would create a whole heck of a lot more traffic and stuff, but who knows?
I'm sure it will. Traffic will have to be picked up because there's a lot of recycling.
Yeah, and they need a number of approvals before it can be built, of course. The Monroe County Solid Waste Management District needs to certify it, and the Monroe County Board of County Commissioners has to let pass it. The Monroe County Health Department has to do a study on it. The Planning Board and Board of Zoning has to get involved, and the Environmental Management, IDEM it's called, needs to get involved. So there, it'd probably take a little while for them to get everything together.
Well, I'd say this, forget it.
You heard it from Billy Bill.
too much work. Too many government deals to go through to get it.
I know. It always raises the price of everything you want to get done.
Yep. The time you get done, you got a fortune in it.
Yeah.
But we got to have rules and regulations.
True.
So we got to have that. Only thing that I think they go overboard once in a while. But
yeah.
We got to have rules and regulations.
Well, and we were talking about that ramp down there on the one they closed years ago. I didn't realize. You were telling me a bit about how that impacted people, and it's really too bad. Can you tell me what happened down there again? I just don't know if people really even anymore. They probably don't even know that ramp was there.
Well, probably you're right. Probably I don't know, but it was a car top ramp. It never was built for a ramp. I mean, as far as that is, but it become a everybody called car top ramp. You could bring, your canoe or your little flat bottom boat or something, and you could back right in there and put it in the water. Now, here's the thing. A lot of handicapped people used it. People like with heart trouble, people with strokes, anybody that was had a handicap of any kind would use it, and other people too, but that was the main thing. And when you launched there, you was in still water. It was in the, off of the beaten path in the idle zone.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't have to get out in with them big boats and everything and fight with them to get in there. And it just made it real nice for the handicap and especially the handicap, because they just know there's nowhere for them to use it other than way up to upper end.
Yeah.
And so that's how that become about. And then someone got the wise idea to close it, and several people's got the blame for it that didn't have a thing in it.
Mm-hmm.
They was blaming Roach for closing it, and it wasn't Roach's fault. I'll have to stand up for Roach on that one.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't his fault, and the Corps of Engineers.
Well, that's the story I heard, that it was the Corps of Engineers that closed it.
The Corps of Engineers, it wasn't really their fault. What they wanted, it was a gravel, and they wanted it blacktopped and brought up to date to where it was a nice little ramp and wouldn't wash gravel and stuff in the lake every time it rained. And just a little cosmetic work around there. And they wouldn't do it. State wouldn't do it. And the Corps didn't close it. It was your director that closed it.
Or the DNR.
Yep.
Yeah. And what do? They put up is there like a gate?
Guardrail.
A gate, just a guardrail, if I remember.
Put a guardrail across there where you can't get in and out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen people still use it as and launch their little canoes and stuff. There are people, and here again, handicapped people, but it's a shore form because they have to carry it from the road all the way down to the water. And someone with heart trouble or something like that, or someone that's crippled, had a stroke or something.
Yeah.
It's very, very unhandy for them. And, but we don't care about people anymore. It just seems like it's everybody's for their self, and that's the only person they're thinking about is their self, and the hell with everybody else.
Well, and if they don't, if it doesn't make money, you know, that's the big key word. You got to have that M word in there.
Oh, yes, you got to have that. You got to have that.
But that's, is that on, what road, what do they call the road
Stip
down there?
That's on Stip.
Stip. And that's sort of where Moffitt turns into Stip?
And Stip, well, yes.
Okay, all right. I knew it wasn't called Moffitt down there, but it's pretty much, if you go straight on Moffitt and down the hill, that's where it shows up. Yeah. And that's also the area that will flood every year. Seems like you can't get through there for most of the summer.
Yeah, it's gets a lot of water.
Yeah.
It's pretty deep.
I was on the other side, maybe last spring, and there were people in there kayaking around, and they had a couple of canoes and stuff, and I wouldn't doubt it'd be a good place to fish if you had a kayak or something.
Yeah, yeah, there's some good fishing around there at times, yes.
And like you say, there's a little inlet there, so you're not really having to deal with any bigger boats or anything, even though that is on the, that wouldn't be on the No Wake side, would it? That's right in the regular part of the lake.
Yeah, that's idle zone only in there.
In there, but I'm just saying that's why it was a good place to have a ramp.
Oh, yeah.
And not to mention, there's so many people that live on that side of the lake that really have to go a long way to get into the lake. I mean, you got to almost go down to the dam to that one ramp. I can't think of too many other places on this side.
They go to Moore's Creek and put in, and of course, like I said before, you take someone with a heart, with any health problem,
yeah,
no matter what it is. And the handicap and stuff, they got to put in at Moore's Creek. They got to fight them big boats. They got to fight the waves.
Right.
It's, and then they got to come all the way back up into the idle zone, to fish or enjoy their boating, canoe and stuff, or boat flat bottom or whatever it is. And, it just took all the pleasure out of it for the for those people. I mean, what 9,000 acres? What hurt to have a little ramp for the underprivileged people? You might say the handicapped, whatever.
Well, and it's not really even a ramp. It's just because it's down in that flat area. It doesn't seem like it would cost that much to give you a little place to park and stuff.
They was playing places to park there, and they have a little picnic area there, but they closed the ramp.
Well, I can remember going down there.
And then they ship them all down there to fight with the big boys.
Yeah. And that's not a good place.
Well,
to, lakes, if you have a lakes, small boat.
The lake's for everybody.
Yeah, it is.
And we got politicians and people that's appointed that thinks that they own the thing, and they'll do it as they please, and they do, and they get by with it.
Right.
But it's not their lake; it's everybody's lake, and it's for everybody to enjoy. And they try to take that enjoyment away as much as they can.
Other than going up, you know, above the causeway, is there any place that you can, you know, kind of safely get a small, you know, small boat or anything like that?
Pine Grove, you can get in there.
Yeah.
And they've got a nice ramp up there, and it's the water's shallow up there too.
Yeah.
And it's a no wake up in there. So, yeah, there's areas. I mean, you know, But this one here was heavily used. I don't know how them are used up there. I have no idea because this is on my end.
Well, yeah.
And I know this one was used by hundreds of people.
Oh, I remember you'd go down there in the summer. There'd always be tons of cars parked there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not too far. It probably helped your bait business. People drive right down there and go fishing.
Well, there's one other factor in that I didn't mention, and I just happened to think of it. You know, people move around, and mm-hmm. People move in here from Tom, Dick, and Harry,
mm-hmm.
From New York, California, and all. And that was another sore spot there. There was a house built on that point right down there.
Mm-hmm.
By people that moved in here from Lord only knows where and tried to boss and run the lake themselves. And that was one cause of that ramp being closed.
Right.
They didn't like the traffic down there, and they didn't like the people down there, and they didn't like this, and they didn't like that. And then we had a director that said, well, we'll just close it.
Yeah.
And they did. And they had no business. I mean, they're strangers here. They never lived here before. This is not their county. This is our county. This is our lake. Everybody's lake.
Yeah.
And you got people like that that want to run everything. And if they don't like the way a mosquito flies backwards, why, they'll complain about that too.
Now, what did they actually call that? Was there a name for it, or was that never really sanctioned as a real place to go?
This car top.
Yeah, that's all it's, car top.
That's all it's. That's all it's. Only name it had. Down to the car top, and everybody knew where it was at.
Yeah. Right, because like you said, they bring their canoes or whatever down there. Well. Mm-hmm. I'll have to ask about that next week, too. It'd be nice if we could get that opened up again, but it doesn't look
You're not going to get that opened up with this guy.
It doesn't look like it's going to happen.
I'll guarantee you won't get it opened up by this guy.
Well, with that, we're about done with this show for this week.
We are?
I just heard the music start.
I'll be darned.
So hopefully we'll hear more from Don pretty soon. I hope he's feeling
he's
a little better.
Yeah, he's got to get better.
Yeah.
My man.
I miss him. I told him that the other day. And the doctors told him it'd be a while, so, you know.
Well, yeah, it's going to be a while.
Yeah. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed our show, and we'll be back next week.
That's a heck of an operation.
I know.
Well, everybody have a good one. Enjoy this fine weather, and we'll be back with something. Bye-bye.
All right. See you later. Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Thanks for listening. Inside Outdoors is brought to you each week on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. If you happen to miss the show, you can listen online at wfhb.org. Just go to the public affairs listing and you'll find a podcast of our show.